Welcome to Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we study Malachim Bey's Perek Yudalit, Chapter 14. This Perek tells us about two generations of Yehuda kings and two generations of Yisrael kings. We learn about Amatzia, king of Yehuda, and then his son Uzziah, or as he is called in Malachim, Azariahu, and about Yoash and Yeravam, the grandson and great-grandson of Yehu, the kings of Yisrael. In a way, each of them will be successful militarily and politically. The two kingdoms will clash in our Perek, and as we have seen again and again, Hashem will show love, patience, and mercy in ways that should inspire and encourage. What can make this Perek confusing is how it switches back and forth from one kingdom to the other. Of course, it does not help that the kings of both kingdoms sometimes have the same names, like Yoash, king of Yisrael, here, when last time we were talking about a Yoash, king of Yehuda. As in last Perek, it may help to just write down on a paper Amatzia, his son Uzziah, kings of Yehuda, and Yoash and his son Yeravam, kings of Yisrael. This Perek begins with Yehuda, king Amatzia, son of Yoash. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, in the second year of Yoash, the son of Yoachaz, the king of Yisrael, that's when Amatziahu, the son of Yoash, the king of Yehuda, began his rule. And verse 2, Ben Esrim v'chamesh shana haya b'macho, he was 25 when he became king, Ve'esrim v'tesha shana malach b'Yerushalayim, and he ruled for 29 years, V'shem imo Yehoadan min Yerushalayim, his mother's name was Yehoadan from Yerushalayim. Pasuk Gimel, Vayas Hayashar Beinei Hashem, he did correct in the eyes of Hashem, Rak lo ki David Aviv, but not like David his forefather. Kechol Asher Asa Yoash Aviv Asa, everything that his father Yoash did, he did. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, makes us wonder, what is the Navi telling us here? Is this a criticism? The Malbim notes that this language of Kechol Asher Asa Yoash Aviv Asa, that he did what his father Yoash did, means he was not invested himself in his relationship with Hashem. It was, as we call, mitzvos anashim milumada. It is learnt behavior. He did what his father did, and the reason he did it was because that is what he was used to. And that when our relationship with the Torah and Hashem is not deeper than that, when it grows stale and old, when we don't have our own understanding and commitment, then it's not ours. And when we are challenged, we don't have our own convictions to stand up to them with. This can help us understand his later failures and mistakes. Verse 5. Vayihi kasher chaska hamamlacha biyado, vayach es avadav hamakim es hamelach aviv. And it was when his kingdom had become strong in his hand that he killed his servants who had killed his father. Remember the assassination of his father at the end of last chapter. Pasuk Vav tells us, ve'es b'nei hamakim lo himis. But the children of those who assassinated his father, he did not kill. Kakasuv b'sefer Torah Moshe asher tziva Hashem lemar. Just like it is written in the Sefer Torah of Moshe that Hashem commanded, saying, Lo yumsu avos al banim. Fathers should not die for the children. Uvanim lo yumsu al avos. And children should not die for their fathers. Ki im ish b'chet'o yemus yumas. Every person can only be punished for their own averos, for their own sins. Now this is almost a direct quote from Chumash Devarim. It's interesting. Chazal learned from this quote other halachos about family testifying for each other, for example. But clearly Amatzia understands it lipshuto, at face value. And what is fascinating here and so unusual is a Navi quoting Chumash. Yirmiyahu is quoting the Torah almost 1,000 years after Moshe received it at Sinai. In verse 7, it tells us about a very successful battle that this Amatzia fights against Edom. In the war, He behaves victoriously, but as we will see in Divrei Hayamim, also so cruelly, as he throws the Edomi soldiers over a cliff. There are so many causes of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but Chazal point to this moment in time as one of them, as one of the reasons ultimately our Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That is not the way a Jew behaves. And Avera led to Avera, and in Divrei Hayamim we find out that Amatzia actually brought back idols from this war and began to serve them. And this pasuk, this action, is actually the antecedent of verse 8, pasuk ches, because Hashem is not happy with Amatzia. And again in Divrei Hayamim we find out that Hashem sent a Navi to him to rebuke him, to warn him, to try to get him to change, and Amatzia ignored him. And now, in verse 8, this king of Yehuda, Amatzia, sends a message to the king of Yisrael. Az shalach Amatzia malachim al Yoash ben Yoachaz ben Yehu, melech Yisrael leimar, lecha nisra'e panim. Then Amatzia sent messengers to Yoash, the son of Yoachaz, the son of Yehu, the king of Yisrael, saying, let us have a military contest, a kind of battle. Let's see who wins. Now, Yoash, the king of Yisrael, he was much more powerful, and he was horrified by the insinuation that there would be any kind of contest, and he sends back a very insulting message. Verse 9. Vayishlach Yoash melech Yisrael el Amatziahu melech Yehuda lemar, hachoach asher balvanon shalach el ha'erez asher balvanon lemar, tunas bitcha livni leisha, vata'avor chayas hasadeh asher balvanon, vatirmoses hachoach. Yoash melech Yisrael sent a message to Amatziahu, the king of Yehuda, saying, the thistle that is in Levanon sent a message to the cedar tree of Levanon, saying, you give me your daughter to my son as a wife. And the animals of the field, they trample the thistle. And of course, the message is clear. You are the thistle. How dare you try to start up with me, the cedar? And he continues in Pasuk Yud, Hakei kises edom and so achal libecha. He kabeid v'shev b'veisecha v'lamet tiskare b'ra'a. V'nafalta atav v'yehuda imach. You managed to hit Edom, but it raised your heart. If you want to remain with your honor, stay home. Why should you court evil? You will fall, and Yehuda, your nation, will fall as well. Don't do this foolish act. You are a nobody, and you will certainly lose. But in verse 11, Amatziahu does not listen to the warnings of Yoash, and he does start up a military contest with him, a battle, and Amatzia loses terribly. Remember, this is brother against brother, shevet against shevet. It has not been great for us when the two parts of the nation have gotten too close, like in Parak Ches and Tes, chapters 8 and 9. But when they take up arms against each other, that is extremely tragic. And predictably, Yehuda falls and Yoash captures Amatzia in verse 13. And then he invades Yerushalayim. He breaks the wall of Yerushalayim. Abarbanel tells us this was not to destroy the city, but it was a show of power and strength. And then in verse 14, he loots the Beis HaMikdash. He takes silver and gold and the vessels, and he returns to Shomron. But then in verse 15, the pasuk tells us the end of the story of the life of Yoash, the king of Yisrael. And the commentaries tell us that his life was actually shortened because of the cruelty, the callousness he demonstrated to the king of Yehuda, and the disrespect, the awful disrespect that he showed to the Beis HaMikdash. And that this is alluded to in verse 17. Vayechi Amatzia ben Yoash melech Yehuda acharimos Yoash ben Yoachaz melech Yisrael chamishas reishana. Amatzia, who apparently had been released or got out of captivity, he outlived Yoash, the son of Yoachaz, Melech Yisrael, 15 years. So let's just quickly review the life of Yoash. He was the grandson of Yehu. His father, Yoachaz, had struggled against Aram, But he, especially after his emotional farewell to Elisha and the Nebuah Elisha shared with him, was very successful, winning back a lot of lands from Aram. He was strong and powerful. And when Amatsiah, the king of Yehuda, started a military exercise against him, he fought back ferociously, killing many, breaking the wall of Yerushalayim, taking captives, and taking silver, gold, and vessels from the Beis HaMikdash. Let's move back to Yehuda. Our parak takes us back to the end of Amatsiah's life. The Abarbanel draws parallels between Amatsiah and his father Yoash. Both started out so well in their youth, but could not sustain it. Both did not listen to the Navi who tried to rebuke them. Both ended up serving pagan gods. And both, as we will see soon in our chapter, will be assassinated. As we see here in our next pasuk, pasuk Yotes, verse 19. Vayikshuru alav kesher b'Yerushalayim, vayanas lachisha, vayishluchu acharav lachisha, vayimisuhu sham. And they rebelled against him in Yerushalayim, and he fled to Lachish. They followed him there and killed him there. And in verse 20, they carry him on horses and bury him in Yerushalayim with his fathers in the city of David. And the nation, all of them, took Azariah, his son, Uzziah. He is 16 years old, and they crown him in place of his father. So, what do we know about this Azariah, who is also called Uzziah? In verse 22, we hear that he was successful, restoring and expanding Yehuda territory. And then, verses 23 and 24 bring us back to Malchus Yisrael, the kingdom of Yisrael. After Yoash's death, his son Yeravam becomes king. Yeravam, we know that name. This one is sometimes called Yeravam II. He ruled for 41 years. And in verse 24, we are told, Vayas hara be'inei Hashem, lo sar mikol chatos Yeravam ben Nevat asher hachatiyas Yisrael. He did evil in the eyes of Hashem. He did not turn away from all the averos of Yeravam ben Nevat, who had caused Bnei Yisrael to sin, and yet 41 years. So, and we are so surprised in verse 25 how much power and success Hashem granted him. Hu yishiv es gvul Yisrael milavo chamas ed yam ha'arava kedvar Hashem elokei Yisrael asher diber biyad avdo Yona ben Amitai hanavi asher migas hachefer. He was able to restore the boundaries of Yisrael from Levo Chamas to the Arava Sea, just like Hashem had spoken to Yonah ben Amittai, the Navi from Gas HaChefer. What is this referring to? What is this Nevuah of Yonah ben Amittai? Many commentaries explain that Yonah prophesied this. And no, we don't have records of it in our Navi. This is just one example of so many of Nevuos that were spoken but were not written down in our Tanakh. Rav Yosef Kara says no. This is the Nevuah of Yonah ben Amittai. Don't you remember? Yonah is the one who crowned Yehu king. He's the one who secretly anointed him. And so, this is the original prophecy of Yonah given to Yehu. Hashem had promised Yehu that he would have four generations who would stay on the throne. And therefore, even though Yeravam does not deserve it, Hashem does not remove him. Yeravam is the third generation of kings promised to Yehu. But Radak, Abarbanel, and Malbim quote the Gemara that the Nevuah of Yonah ben Amittai that is spoken about here refers to the famous prophecy of Yonah, that prophecy that Yonah gave about Nineveh, the city in Asher that would be destroyed because of their sins. And then Hashem, with extreme kindness, compassion, and forgiveness, did not destroy them, even though they didn't completely deserve it. So too here. If you want to understand this treatment of Yeravam, this is what is now known as a Yonah moment, a kind of undeserved compassion. And that is what Pasuk Chavav clarifies. Ki ra'ah Hashem es ani Yisrael, morem ma'od, Ve'efesatzor, ve'efesazo, ve'ein ozer le'Yisrael. Hashem saw the pain of Yisrael, the oppression, terrible. And there was no help for them, no salvation for Yisrael. V'lo diber, in verse 27, v'lo diber Hashem lemchus Hashem Yisrael. Hashem did not want to destroy the name of Yisrael, mitachas Hashemayim, from under the heavens. Vayoshi aim, and that's why Hashem saved them, biyad Yeravam ben Yoash, in the hands of Yeravam ben Yoash. Again, not because of the behavior of the children, Bnei Yisrael, but due completely to the love of their father Hashem. And the parak ends with a huge military victory of Yeravam. He actually took over Damascus, all because of the love of Hashem. But both the Gemara Pesachim and the Medrash Tana Devei Eliyahu speak about one merit that Yeravam did have, and that was a story involving the Navi Amos, who prophesied during his reign. The story is alluded to in Sefer Amos. There was a Navi Sheker who misquoted something Amos had prophesied and used it to accuse Amos of rebelling against Yeravam. And Yeravam totally discounted the slander, saying, no, the Navi would not have said that. And even if he did, he speaks the word of Hashem. They are not his words, but Hashem's words. And in this chus, Hashem allowed him to be such a successful military king. And Yeravam dies, and his son Zechariah takes over. Yehu, Yehoahaz, Yoash, Yeravam, and Zechariah. The promise has now been kept. There have been four generations of kings from Yehu. They have been largely disappointing. They have not abolished the calves of Yeravam. They have not been true to the mandate handed to them by Yonah. Their mission was not to just get rid of Ahav, but his ways. This family was entrusted to bring Bnei Yisrael home. And like a critically ill patient, the time and chances are really running out for Malchus Yisrael. Thank you for studying together Li'iloi Nishmot Imahotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.